Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds, that your word would take on life, and that it would change us, that each Sunday we would be a little bit changed as we come into your presence, as the Spirit makes your word known to us. Lord, we look forward to how you are going to work today through your holy word, and we offer this time as an act of worship. Help us to know you better in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, today, being the first Sunday of the month, we are going to continue with our classic Bible story series on the commandments, and we're in the fourth commandment, which really marks kind of a conclusion of a section of the commandments. The first four commandments teach us what it means to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The first four commandments address what that is. And we learned back in the first commandment that we're to love God exclusively, that we cannot truly love God and also have other gods in our life, that God is a jealous God and God is the one true God, and the best good for us is to be exclusively devoted to that one God. The second commandment taught us how to worship God. We cannot worship with idols because the point of idols is manipulating gods. Idols are meant to limit God to a box, to make God something that we can control by bringing offerings or by doing particular rituals. And God says, that's not who I am. You are to worship me in spirit and in truth. You are to learn who I am through my revealed word, and then you are to act in obedience. And true worship is obedience to God, coming to know him as he is and living the life he's called us to live to. The third commandment revealed that we are to fill God's name with glory by knowing him as he reveals himself and not coming up with our own conclusions, not living in a manner that takes away glory from God, but actually living in a manner that shows the world who he is. We're to avoid hypocrisy, blasphemy, profanity. We're to avoid taking his name and emptying it of meaning, because that also empties God's presence from this world. And so the third commandment is about glorifying God and making him known to the world around us. So the first three commandments establish a unique relationship between God and man. This is a relationship that is built on submission and obedience of the worshipers, not manipulation and control of a God, because God is the sovereign creator God. He is the one who has all right, all authority, and all power, and we are to be in a right relationship with him. But the fourth commandment that we're going to look at today seems, almost irrelevant to our culture. We work hard, we play hard, there's too much to do, we got so much to go, we don't have time to rest. We can't take a day and just not do something because we've got so much to fill our days with. And so we kind of look at the fourth commandment and go, you know, that's kind of wasteful, and that's just Old Testament law, and we're not under the law, so we don't have to worry about the fourth commandment anymore. And so that's my sermon today. I thank you for being here, and I hope that you have a good week. Hey, now. Was that Christian over there clapping? No. Sorry. I lie. Pastors aren't supposed to lie, and I lie. What does the fourth commandment tell us about God? Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourselves. That's how you interpret all of the Old Testament, and it's especially how the Ten Commandments are structured. And the fourth commandment tells us something important about God, something that we are missing. And so we're going to study the fourth commandment, and you don't get off that easy, Christian. If you'll turn in your Bible to Exodus 20, Exodus 28 to 11. God tells Israel, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I find it interesting that although the fourth commandment is about keeping the Sabbath holy, it's not in the commandments that we first meet the Sabbath. The first time that the Sabbath appears in Scripture, interestingly enough, is about four chapters earlier in Exodus 16. Israel is traveling through the desert, kind of set it up for you. They've been led out of Egypt, and God's going to take them out into the desert, and he's going to take them to Mount Sinai, where he's going to give them the commandments. But right now, they've left Egypt behind. God, through mighty acts of power, has rescued them from slavery, and he's led them out into the desert. And the people of Israel get out into the desert, and they're looking around going, "What the heck? What is this? I mean, Moses, you brought us out here to die. There's no food here. There's no water. You know, back in Egypt, we had leeks and onions and bread. And, you know, maybe we were slaves, but at least we were going to eat." And so they start whining and complaining to Moses. And so Moses goes to God and he says, "God, these people, they're really kind of putting some pressure on me. They think that you let them here so they die in the desert." And God says, "I got it. Don't worry about it." And so the next morning, the people of Israel get up, and the ground is just covered with this white stuff, which we've come to know as manna. And God said, "I want you to get up every day, and I want you to collect this. This is good food for you. And I'm going to provide for you, so just collect enough for what you need this day, and you'll be fine." And so the people go out, like, "Wow, this is kind of crazy," and taste it, and it tastes pretty good. The first day it tastes pretty good. I don't know about the 15th day, but the first day it tastes really good. And so they collect what they need for the day, and some are, "Well, you know, maybe we can't trust God," so they collect a whole bunch. And the next morning, the second day, they get up, and all the stuff they over-collected is rotten and full of bugs, so they have to throw it out anyway. So they can only collect what they need for that day, until the sixth day. And on the sixth day, we read in Exodus 16, verse 23, God said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil, save whatever is left, and keep it until morning." So for 5 days, you can only take what you need for that day. But on the sixth day, God says, collect enough for 2 days. Because what I want you to do tomorrow is not work. I want you to rest. And that's the first time we find the word Sabbath. And it comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, meaning to cease. You're going to work for 6 days. And on the sixth day, you're even going to work a little extra. So on the seventh day, you can cease from working and you can rest. And then 4 chapters later, we get to Mount Sinai and God's giving the Ten Commandments. And God says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And this word "remember" is really the foundation of the whole Sabbath. The point of the Sabbath, first and foremost, is to remember. And one of the things that Israel had to remember was that God provided their food in the desert. They didn't have to worry because God took care of that. One of the things that they have to remember is that God rescued them from Egypt, that they were enslaved, and God, through his power and his strength, he went in and he rescued them. One of the things that they had to remember was that God is the God of creation. As a matter of fact, the commandment goes on to say, "For God created everything in 6 days. And then on the seventh day, he rested." And so the first part of the Sabbath is remembering what God is all about. God is the God who saves, the God who provides, but most importantly, he is the God who created all things. And the other thing that you need to remember which we learned from the time in the desert and the manna, is you need to prepare. See, you cannot enjoy the Sabbath on the seventh day if on the sixth day you weren't prepared. On the sixth day, go out and collect enough food so that everyone's got what they need, so tomorrow you do not have to work and you can cease from working and spend it instead resting and remembering God. And so the pattern begins before the Ten Commandments, but in the Ten Commandments we learn that God is about being remembered. Remember that God provided, and remember that God rescued. Again, we see in Deuteronomy 5:15, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, if you're Christians, if you're here freed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you need to remember that God rescued you from slavery, that you were enslaved to sin and it controlled your very life, and you were hopeless under its oppression, and the blood of the cross freed you. And you need to regularly remember that, because if you quit remembering that, then you start forgetting who you are in God. And so remember that God rescued and freed us. Remember that you need to be prepared so that you can spend this time with God, remembering what he has done. And the second thing is to remember that God is the God of creation, and that we are those who reflect God's image in that creation. And the Sabbath brings us a picture of the Creator God and reminds us of how we reflect the Creator God. It takes us all the way back to Genesis, which is surprising to me how often Scripture takes us all the way back to the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 1:27 and then Genesis 2:1-3. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Brothers and sisters, you are given God's very image. And one of the ways we reflect that image is the Sabbath. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. See, the Sabbath was for God's people to remember God's work in creation, and to be reminded of how they reflect the nature of God. And so in order to do that, the people of Israel needed to keep the Sabbath holy. They need to make it different than the other days of the week. The command is interesting. The command is work 6 days and then rest on the seventh day. And so you are given 6 days to work. You are given 6 days to accomplish all those things that are important to you. You are given 6 days to socialize and to make connections and to accomplish your chores and to build up those things that are important in life. But on the seventh day, God rested. And so it's resting on the seventh and keeping the Sabbath holy that starts making a pattern for life. And it's the cycle of work and rest and work and rest. You work from your rest and you rest from your work, that you begin to see how you fit in with who God is. And it's only in keeping that day holy, setting it apart. That's what the word holy means, by the way. It means to set something apart for a unique purpose or for a godly purpose. The people of Israel, every single day, they were encouraged to keep God in their life. You should read your scripture every single day, God says. Dwell in the word of God daily. You should Talk to your family about who God is. That's what God teaches us. It says, as you're eating, as you're going out, tell your children about God. That's 7 days a week. That includes those six work days. So God was to be an integral part of every single day. But the seventh day is to be holy. It's to be set apart in a unique way so that life begins to take on a unique shape. And that we begin to see that this is who our God is. He is a God who works. And by seeing that God works 6 days, and by us working 6 days, this says work is good. Work has value. Work matters, and it's important, and it has dignity. But by resting on the seventh, we keep it in perspective. And we start having time to glorify God. We start having time to take in a deep breath and go, wow, our work is good. And we start having time to build relationships with our own family and to invest in that part of our life as well. And so keeping the Sabbath holy means setting it aside and giving it to God, not just giving it away. As a matter of fact, this was so important to God that God even says that this is an additional sign of his covenant with his people. In Exodus 31, verses 12 to 13, then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. That's important. I want to challenge you right now to really get your mind around this. God is telling the people of Israel, if you do not on a weekly basis take this day and set it aside to be different than the other days, set it aside to be with your family and to revel in the people that I've placed in your life, if you don't take this day and set it aside to remember who I am, you're going to break the covenant. You're going to soon forget who I am. And if you don't remember who I am, you're not going to see my image in you, because you're going to quickly forget who you are in God. And so the cycle of work and rest, and taking that rest and making it holy, and remembering God, remembering that he provides, remembering that he frees us from slavery, remembering that he is the God who is creator and sovereign and Lord, and remembering that we are to bear his image, is vital for the spiritual health of people. See, because as soon as we quit doing that, as soon as we quit setting that apart, then we start forgetting what God is all about. And we start forgetting what we're all about. And pretty soon, we don't reflect the image of God at all. And on a very pragmatic level, God, who made us, who created us, knows what is best for us. And God created man to need rest and worship regularly every 7 days. And it's interesting that modern business gurus have kind of rediscovered this biblical principle recently. They express it, and some of you have probably heard me use this, they express it in this formula, P versus PC. And the first P is product. If you think about it, any factory in the world is set up to produce something, right? It needs to make a product. But if you think a little deeper, anything that we do has a product as well, right? If we're in relationship, the product is having healthy relationship and finding joy with people. If we're in a ministry, the product may be connecting with those outside of the church, or the product may be building up disciples. But no matter what it is, you can think about everything is structured to produce something, a product. But for a factory to produce its product, it needs things. It needs the raw materials. It needs the equipment, the machinery to assemble that material. It needs all the workers that run all those machines. And so the business gurus call that production capability. You know, you can picture a robotic factory making cars, and it takes thousands of pieces to come together to make that car that comes off the assembly line. And so you put all these equipment together, and you put all these people in there, and you start producing a product. And the first thing you think is, man, if we can get this factory to run 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, think of all the cars we're going to have. And so you push it as hard as you can, and what happens? Well, pretty soon one of the pieces of equipment goes, yeek! Smoke starts billowing out, and the whole factory shuts down because something's broken. Or pretty soon your employees start going, I am so tired of this. I never get free time. Or they start becoming distracted, and one day somebody sticks his hand where it doesn't belong, and you've got an ambulance there. And so what they found in production is it's not the factory that works 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year that is the most productive. It's the factory that regularly shuts down, that takes time and maintains the equipment, that lets its employees have an opportunity to rest and rejuvenate and have joy in their life. P versus PC. If you do not take care of the PC, the production capability, you will soon make no product at all. And you may be going, well, why am I talking about factories? But brothers and sisters, that is how our lives operate. If you work 7 days a week, if you go all hours, if you don't have time for the relationships in your life, for the people that matter, if you don't take care of yourself, your attitude gets really negative. Your relationships start fraying. Your joy in doing the work disappears. And one day, everything comes crashing to a halt. You quit your job, you leave your relationship, you do something you wish you hadn't done, and you make no product because you didn't obey the Sabbath. See, God knew what we needed, and it's only recently that they're starting to see this in other areas. If you read anything about health and fitness, you know, it's important that you eat right, it's important that you exercise, but what you're going to find in most literature now, the most important factor is rest. It's rest. Yeah, you need to eat and exercise, but if you are not getting regular sleep, your health is going to suffer. If you are not taking a regular break from life, your fitness is going to deteriorate. You need 6 to 8 hours of good sleep every night, and you need one day where your body gets to heal. It's a fact now. Of course, it was a fact for thousands of years because God told us about, what would that be, about 3,000 years ago, God says, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Make sure that you operate the way I've called you to operate by taking one day and resting yourselves and remembering who I am. There's one more aspect of the Sabbath I want to talk about. Those who have been with me for a long time probably heard me say this more times than you want to, but my life's not about me. And whether you want it to be or not, your life is not about you. God created us to be in relationship, and everything we do has ramifications for those people around us. And God, as he set up the Sabbath, he said, you know what? You need to be caring about other people. As you take your Sabbath, you provide for those people in your life to also have a rest. Isn't it interesting? If you continue in Exodus, it says, on it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. See, the Sabbath is actually the point in the Ten Commandments where love for God starts becoming love for others. It's at the point of the Sabbath that we start seeing that what we do and how we relate to God determines how we relate to people and whether we're blessing them. I know that I, as a father and as a head of household, if I do not take a Sabbath rest, then my wife doesn't rest. Honestly, when I do take a Sabbath rest, I have a hard time making my wife take a rest because she likes to go. But our relationship starts suffering if we don't have that time together. If I don't take a Sabbath rest, my children don't have time with me undistracted to pay attention to them. If I don't take a Sabbath rest, everything in my household is affected. And God said, not just for the powerful and for the elite and for the masters of the house, okay, I want you guys to rest and make your servants work harder to make up for your time. No, he said, you need to prepare and plan so that your maidservants and your manservants and your children and even the animals that work on your place, that they can all rest, because that's what blesses them. And so I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, to think about this. If you think, man, I am just doing the best for my family by going hard all the time, I'm really making sure that we've got enough money and I've got to work 6 jobs and 200 hours a week or they won't have enough, you're missing it. You're not letting them find their rest with you. You're not giving them the opportunity to experience you because you're so busy working. And so life loses its meaning and you find it hard to see your identity as an image of God, and you don't reflect for the rest of the people in your household that they too bear the image of God. And so for Israel, the Sabbath generated a rhythm of life. It reminded Israel every week that they worship the God of creation and that they are a reflection of that image. It reminded them that they were redeemed from slavery by the power of God's hand and not by their own actions. And it allowed them the freedom from greatest to least to rest and to worship and to glorify God. The Sabbath affirms the value of all the people, because even the servants and the aliens in the country were given this rest and pointed to the God of creation. And yet we Christians, we tend to neglect the Sabbath. We do like to say, well, that's the law, we're not under the law, that's Old Testament, that's Israel, we don't have to do that. And I want to tell you, you're right, we are not under the law. We do not have to hold the Sabbath the way Israel held the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, if you want to be legalistic about it, the Sabbath is Saturday. It's not Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. So you should work today, and Saturday you should rest if you want to be legalistic. But what I want you to know is that the principle and the pattern of the Sabbath still stands. God reveals his nature. God reveals what is the best good for mankind. And he says, you need a day each week to remember who I am and to rest from the normal concerns and worries of this life. You need a Sabbath. But we have, beyond what Israel had, we have Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. Matthew writes in Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Paul even gets a little more explicit in Colossians. Paul says in Colossians 2:16, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festivals, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. I love that. It's not about keeping a particular day. It's not about religiously saying we've got to make Saturday because that's what the Jews did. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about knowing that our rest is found in him and that he is the true Sabbath. But the principle of the Sabbath, what God wants for your best good, is that you take a specific time every week and you set it aside and you say, I am going to spend this time resting from my daily life and remembering who God is and remembering who I am in Christ, so that he is reflected truly in my life. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a few gracious suggestions, not laws. I'm offering these only as suggestions because I love you and I want what is best for you, not because I'm a pastor and I want you here every Sunday, although I do want you here every Sunday. But this isn't about legalism. This is about your best good. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. First of all, by planning for it. Sabbath may be for us on Sunday because that is when most of us are able to have day off from work, and that's when we plan our worship service. And there's reasons for that. Jesus Christ rose on a Sunday, and so Sunday has taken on a unique honor for Christians. And so we do choose Sunday typically as our time of worship. But if you want to genuinely worship on Sunday, you need to start preparing for it on Saturday. If you've got family and it takes a lot to get everybody together, you've got to put all those clothes together, you got to get everybody ready, maybe you need to Saturday night think about what people are going to wear on Sunday. Prepare. Set out your Sunday clothes, know what it's going to take to get everyone ready. Prepare. If you're going to take the day Sunday and you're going to enjoy it and feel restful about it, then you need to probably plan what Sunday's going to look like. If you're going to do something as a family, maybe you're going to go take a picnic so that you can really have quiet time together. You probably Saturday need to put that together, because otherwise Sunday you're going to be frantic and it's going to make you stressed and you're not going to rest. Saturday, you need to rest. You need to get all your chores and all the work and all the pressures of the weekend taken care of Saturday. And you need to get to bed. You need to be in bed so that you get a full night's sleep, so Sunday morning you're rested and ready to worship. Now, I'm not saying that people can't go out and have a good time, but do that Friday night if you can. Sleep in late Saturday. Don't say, well, I want to go to church, but it's so hard to get up that early. Well, the reason it's hard to get up early Sunday is because where were you Saturday? What were you doing? So if you want to make worship a priority, you need to start planning for it. You need to prepare yourself, just like Israel had to prepare by collecting the manna for 2 days instead of one. Secondly, if you want to keep the Sabbath holy, you have to make worship a priority. I mean, I hope if nothing else, I hope that today you're convinced that this is an important thing that we do each Sunday. That it is in coming here that you remind yourself of who God is. That as we gather as a body of believers and we worship God, that something is happening in us that sets us up for the next week. We work from this rest. We're ready to face the trials of the coming week because we have taken a deep breath and we have rested together in Christ. We have looked into God's word and we've said, oh yeah, that's who my God is. And that's what I'm supposed to reflect. And if we do that, if we make worship a priority, then we will see the machinery of our lives running smoothly. If we don't, if we try to get by with maybe once a month, maybe every other month, then you're going to start hearing some squeaking and squealing. There's going to be some black smoke, and there's going to be that day where things stop operating. You're going to go, why is my life coming off the tracks? And I'm here to tell you, it's because you are not honoring the Sabbath. and keeping it holy. You are not setting worship as a priority in your life. And it needs to be a priority, not for my good, but for your good. Not for my good, but for the good of those who depend on you, for your family, for your friends, for your coworkers, for your employers. They need you to have a Sabbath rest and to worship God so that you can reflect God each and every day. If you don't, your PC is going to fall apart and life is not going to work the right way. And lastly, I want to encourage you that you realize that the whole day is a Sabbath, not an hour Sunday morning, but you need a whole day that you commit yourself to a God-focused rest, that you make Sunday about being focused on God. Now, back some time ago in America, we had those Sunday evening worship services. There's a good reason for that. See the way their pattern, and it makes perfect sense as you study the fourth commandment, they would get up as a family on Sunday morning and they would get on their finest Sunday clothes and they would all go to worship and they would worship God, and then they would gather, maybe they would be several families, but they would have a meal together and they would rest. And then they would go back to church at the end of the day so that their whole day focused on God and they would worship. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, when they got up Monday morning, they were ready. They were ready for what lays ahead because they had taken the whole day and made it about glorifying God. And I'm not saying that we're going to start a Sunday evening service, but I am suggesting whatever you do after you leave here, and don't be hurried to leave here, rest with us, fellowship with us. Enjoy this time as a church family. But if you're going to go out as a family and you're going to have a picnic, great. But can God be part of that? Can you pray together as a family before you eat your meal? If you're going to go out fishing as a family, wonderful. That's awesome. But while you're out there, can you talk about what they learned in Sunday school or maybe about the sermon today? Maybe you could talk about how life is going and bring a biblical perspective and keep your focus on God. And at the end of the day, before you go to bed, now you're starting to look at Monday and all the busyness that's waiting for you the next week. Get together as a family. Maybe do devotionals. Maybe just have a time of family prayer. But bring God into every aspect of this day. Don't come here and do a hurried hour to get it out of the way, to check a box, to say, well, I did my worship. But honor the Sabbath and keep it holy for your good and for those that depend on you. Because God built us to need Him in our life. And He built us to need a rest. Amen. Today we're celebrating communion. The only